Before we start another episode of amazing Check These Out tabletop role-playing content, here's a brief word from the sponsors of this episode.
If you're a game master that's always looking for new ways to immerse your players into your world, then check out Micro Music to help you score your sessions with soaring melodies, ominous ambiance, and everything in between for as little as $1 per month. Patrons have access to a huge back catalog of music that's available for use in their streams, podcasts, and home games. Whether you're looking for epic boss battles, spooky ambiance, or traditional fantasy music, Micro Music has something for you. Sign up at patreon.com/mcromusic and take your games to the next level today.
Do you have a Hogwarts-sized hole in your life where your favourite wizarding world used to be? Find yourself longing for adventures to continue in your castle-sized school with your three best fictional friends? Well, there might possibly be a not-quite-Potter podcast audacious enough to scratch that itch. JK, We're Rolling, in an actual play podcast set in a brand new world in an original game system made to mirror wizarding cultures from popular media, three German players attempt to solve mysteries and survive in a castle-sized sandbox created by one American game master. Find out what's happening in the most prestigious wizarding school in all of Germany every other Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. JK, We're Rolling. Yeah, we went there. So come join us. Follow JK We're Rolling on Instagram at JK We're Rolling or Twitter at JK We're Rolling 1 for more info.
Hello there and welcome to the Iron Horse of Acheron, a Check These Out D&D 5e 4-part mini campaign set in the world of Terra Luno.
Hi, I'm Macca the DM. I am the Dungeon Master for the Iron Horse of Acheron.
Hi, I'm Johnny from Check These Out. I'm playing IX, the Human Bard.
Hi, I'm Lewis from Check These Out. I'm playing Philippe Dumont, the Human Bard College of Calligromancy.
Hi, I'm Andy from Check These Out. I'm playing as Colonel Goosey Ganders, a Goosefolk Paladin.
Throughout this mini-campaign, we will also be joined by some special guests.
Hi, I'm Andrew from Chasing Tales. I'll be playing Hester, the Rabbitfolk Fighter.
Hi, I'm Rowan, also from Chasing Tales and Witchencraft Games, and I'll be playing Reaper, the Reborn Death Cleric.
Hi, I'm Saint Stella. I'm playing Pukara Terralai, a Firbolg Monk.
Check out our live streams, Tales from Terra Albert on Mondays and the Iron Horse of Acheron on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. UK time at twitch.tv/checkthese out. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube by searching Check These Out. We also have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/checkthese out. Now on with the session.
The group, if you missed the first bits, are traveling through the train, trying to stop it, I guess, or everyone's here for a different reason, I think. Most recently, Puck, a peacekeeper from the Evil Beta Desert, has seen many of their own kind, the own collective that they are part of. And this train carriage they're in, there's a beast in here, there's some tortured soul that is affecting the minds of people that walk through and showing them emotional traumatic things from their past, or maybe just creating them in the case of Puck. As Puck steps forward and approaches these beings that are kind of challenging their very world view, I guess, or a few of the afterlife at least, these tendrils of shadow reach out, grip Puck and grapple them. And Hester has also discovered that this is still the shape of a train carriage. And is it at this point? I would need initiative rolls from everyone wishing to engage in combat, but we'll do everyone's initiative roll anyway.
Dun, dun, dun.
Look at that initiative! 23, dang.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Let me find my list. Ooh, there's some good initiative rolls. Except for my axe. Conversely, this time it's rolled quite bad.
Seven. Ooh, is average.
Nearly said it. Right, okay, so
I rolled a 7 too.
Hey, 7 buddies.
The two best friends. So Felipe's top, right?
Felipe is up first with a 23.
And then I think Puck got 23 as well, right? No, Puck got less.
17.
17.
Right, Goosey Sanders follows with 21.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Then Puck, then Reaper. Then it'd be Hester, wasn't it? Oh, Hester got 18?
Yes, sir.
Hester's higher than me.
I was about to say, yeah, I got that wrong. So Hester on 18 and Ajax last. Cool. Right, and I'll roll for beastie. I forgot the stats for the beast. There we go. 13 is not the best. It's actually the second worst. Always, always worst. Creature thingy. Cool. Right. Top of the combat round. Unsurprisingly, this happened every time we played offline. Felipe is up first.
So I'm going to walk, take a few steps forward, and just look over at Reaper as I walk forward, just over my shoulder, and say, "Oh, this thing feeds off of sorrow. Perhaps we'll give it a taste of its own medicine, let it self-indulge a little bit." And I'm going to cast Phantasmal Force on it.
Phantasmal Force?
Yes. Which is a 10-foot cube where you have to make a intelligence 15 saving throw, or I can essentially create stimuli, including sound, temperature, and various other things, basically put it into its own little illusion.
Okay. You're targeting just a... It's a... What's the...
It's a cube, but basically... centered on fuck. I get to choose which creatures are affected.
Mm-hmm. You craft an illusion that takes root in the mind of a creature you can see within range. The target must make an intelligence saving throw. On a failed save, you create a phantasmal object and so on. So go ahead. Which one are you picking?
So I am going to pick... What am I actually seeing right now while I'm looking at this?
First off, everyone can roll a d20 because Yaz has redeemed rolling 20, isn't it? Whoever gets highest gets inspiration. I know Reaper's done theirs already. Mm. What can you see? You can see Puck is being wreathed in black shadow that seems to be coming from one or possibly all of these firbolgs.
I'm going to do what I normally do and just wing it and pick the technical coming from this one.
Sure, that's Sanders' thing.
Just wing it, yeah. For a second, I was like, I don't think I get it. Then I was like, bird joke. Firbolg at the back left. You target that creature. Okay, it has to make an intelligence saving throw. I'm going to roll it anyway because why the heck not? What's the DC?
It passed.
Past. Okay. The Phantasmal Force would probably still begin to take effect because you're trying to do it, but the creature is just too powerful of a mind alterer.
Yeah. Damn it. I'm just going to sort of look over at all my spells are failing horribly today. I'm going to look over at Reaper and say, I'll be honest, this is something that I've never dealt with before. You seem much more versed in this. Guess you're up. And I'm going to sort of flick my paintbrush at her. Not in a mean way, but I'm going to flick basically a paint blob towards her that's just going to start circling around her head, and that will be my bardic inspiration to her.
Oh, thank you.
I've already... Oh, not me. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I think Reaper is... gender fluid, I think, at the moment.
Reaper is a they, them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right.
And so, after Felipe, are you taking any movement?
I've taken a few steps forwards. I'm not going to go too far into this illusion without following basically where Hester's walking along the wall.
Okay. Perfect. In that case, Colonel Goose, you're up next.
Yeah. Okay, so how close can I even get? Not close enough is the answer. And you just see Goosey just make a long charge towards them as he uses his full movement and dash.
Okay.
To do that, because I can't do anything else, so why not? He's going to charge towards him, and he just goes, "Bah!" Is it?
Just trying to startle them.
Yep, that's it. Flapping wildly.
Okay, I'll give you two
maybe
choices.
Maybe a little bit of a hiss.
I'll give you two choices. On choice number one, you can that I would class that as the help action, and it'll give anyone that attacks this creature, I guess, advantage on the next time that the attack takes place. Or you can try and do an intimidation with that.
I'm a paladin, so I'll give it a help action.
Okay, so Colonel Goose-Eye flapping and causing a distraction. All of the firbolgs that are tendrils ripping around Puck, they all their heads turn and just face Colonel Goose-Eye. The next attack roll that is into that beast will be done so with advantage. And after Goose-Eye, it is Hester.
Seeing all this stuff turn into physical violence now, this is not what we were going for. So I'm gonna roll a d12 and see how far my big old bunny legs are gonna carry me.
Oh yeah, you have your bunny bounce thing.
10 extra feet. So I'm gonna use my bonus action to bunny hop. I'm gonna like bounce off one leg, kick off the wall, and fly 10 feet toward this stuff.
Awesome.
Bound, roll, whip, slash, and just get in range. I believe, if I do that's 40 feet. Oh yeah, easy peasy. Bounce across and like front flip, whip, crack out toward this thing. With my first of two slashes.
Okay. It even though it should be with advantage, for reasons as yet unknown, it would normally have been disadvantage against these creatures.
You got it.
So it'd be a straight roll.
Yes, sir. Whoosh. There we go.
Wow.
There you go, boy.
And what a straight roll. Is that probably the highest you can
that's the highest.
With?
That's the highest I've rolled all since I got here.
Yeah.
So, first off, it's going to take 5 points of slashing damage plus another 8, so a total of
13
points of slashing damage. And I need it to make me a strength saving throw.
Wow, okay. As you whip into the collective, 13 points of damage. I need to remember what its health is. Okay. A strength saving throw.
Yes, sir.
Oops, let's put this in here. And then strength. Okay, right. That is, probably its highest stat.
It can still roll low.
Can a 14?
14 just fails. Lash into like a lower portion, and as the whip kind of like curls around a leg of one of these things, I'm gonna yank it, and it's gonna fall prone if it can. And I use a trip attack to knock it prone.
It can be knocked prone. What would happen is everyone would see all four of the firbolg beings drop onto their back prone. The grapple, therefore, is released from Puck. The tendrils are no longer wrapped around Puck, because I think if you force someone prone, it breaks the grapple anyway. So, and if it doesn't, it does now. I'm going to put a marker on them so that you know that they're all down. Any sort of forced movement, I've read somewhere that it breaks the grapple, and that's what I'm going to rule with.
Fair enough. And with, just as a note, its speed is reduced by 10 feet until the end of its next turn. No, the start of my next turn. It's like it's leaking through its legs or something. And as I like finish the forward roll, I'm gonna draw the crossbow and toward it on the ground.
That would be a disadvantage because it's
yeah, but it's yeah. Style.
It's cool, yeah.
So with this,
think of the vibes though.
It's a 23 or 12.
As it fires into the ground, it just seems to pass through one of these creatures.
I regret nothing. Reload. That's my go.
Lewis, just for quickly, Pixies, let us know the code on the overlay is not the right code this week. Final chance.
Give me 2 seconds.
Okay, as we move on from Hester, and what was a very productive turn, Puck, it would be your go. Where the creatures had reefed their tentacles around you didn't seem to cause you any damage, but you were grappled. Now they're all prone around you. You are no longer grappled.
What I have seen and heard what Hester did with the, like, finding a wall.
I shouted that out.
Yeah, Hester shouted it out. I think it's up to you, really, because your entire thing was stabbing into the ground, and maybe. It's your call.
Do you want me to roll like a check for that?
You certainly, if you want to, you certainly can. You can go ahead.
They're
and
very in tune to like people around them because they grew up like listening to like, that's the core of themselves is being a part of what's around them.
Then we'll say that you heard it, absolutely.
Okay, great. Then I will use my bonus action to disengage and I will just run to where I think, like seeing where she like helped like touch the wall, yep. Where I think that the door on the far side would be if I have enough movement for that.
Okay. To sense the direction of a thing, it would normally be a survival check. Now you've seen Hester, or you've at least heard Hester because you weren't facing them, touch the wall and say, I think this is still the carriage. So do a survival check and we'll see if you would know.
One of my best checks, come, yes!
Natural 20. Okay, you would know 100% that if this was a carriage, the door would be right there, where I've just drawn a purple square on the map.
Okay, so I'll go there. So bonus action movement. Can I use my action to see if I can feel the like door handle?
As you move your hands, it's just a free, moving your hands is a free action, but as you're doing that, you do eventually grip a handle.
Can I open it as my action or see if I can?
Now you can try. It'll be a strength check to try.
Okay.
It comes another nat 20.
I still have this. If I need it. And I probably will. Oh. Can I even bother? I don't know if I should bother. Yeah, I might as well. I'm going to use my inspiration. Ooh, I only rolled a 2, so it's a 10 total.
So you, as you pull on the door, you can feel there's something not right. The door is where the others have opened quite freely. This one doesn't appear to.
Okay.
But you are certainly away from the beasts.
That's the first goal. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Definitely. Okay. After Puck, Reaper.
Yes, okay. I'm going to, hearing ruckus, I'm going to run up some steps. And as I get to the top of the steps, as a bonus action, I will like strum a just a chord on the lyre and I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon. And I'm going to drop it. What is the range on Spiritual Weapon? I can't remember.
60, I believe. I think it's 60 feet, yeah.
Yeah, so I will drop it. Where will I drop it? I'm here. I'll drop it right in the middle of the four of them. Right here.
Okay.
And I think at first, as it starts to form, it becomes the kind of shape of a long-handled, black and smoking scythe. And then Reaper looks at it and goes, no, not anymore. And flicks the hand and it turns into like a sickle used for like on farm work that is golden and white as it appears.
Okay. Good luck finding a token for that, Johnny.
Yeah. made your job hard.
Yeah.
And then as part of its turn, I'm going to make it hit the one that Gambers is currently on.
Okay. That will this be the attack roll will be made with disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Alrighty. Oh, I'm going to use the inspiration to re-roll one of those dice.
Okay.
The lowest so far is an 11. So I'm re-rolling. That's better than lowest now is a 17.
Ooh, okay. You make contact with the entity that is there.
Yes.
This Firbolg reacts to the hit, but as this Firbolg does, all four of them react. All four react at the same time. You roll damage.
Now, I have a question. Am I aware on as being on this train, what kind of effect necrotic damage would have on a creature like this?
You would know from experience of being within the range of that creature in the carriage's couple past that was using necrotic energy, that it would do little to nothing to yourself. So it would probably, you can guess, do very little to the beast here. Yeah. So
that's the thing about being a death cleric is like all of your shit is necrotic damage.
Well, you can go ahead and try.
I don't know. It's spending one of my channel divinities and I don't want to spend it if it's not going to do shit. I will... Fuck it. I will try it.
Unadvisable.
So I'm going to... I know, but I want to do it for the vibes. So I have a channel divinity called Touch of Death. When you hit a creature with a melee attack, and this was a melee spell attack,
yep.
You can use a channel divinity to deal an extra 17 points of necrotic damage on a hit.
Okay.
So, and I rolled an 8 on d4 for the... Mm-hmm.
So, where this would normally be necrotic damage,
yeah,
because you're a Reaper Death Cleric,
yes,
because of the fact that you're beginning to awaken and change and the goodness that's inside you is coming out, you just said that you were going to draw out a golden scythe.
Yeah.
Your necrotic damage, in this case, is radiant.
Oh, yeah! Let's go!
So that is going to be then total... on top of, where's my thing gone? there's so many bits as part of clerics I'm getting. So on top of the, I rolled an 8 plus 4, so that's 12 points of force damage for the spiritual weapon, plus 17 points of radiant damage.
Wow.
Okay. That's a thing. So in that case, okay, yep. So two of these ghostly fig apparitions vanish from existence.
Mm-hmm. And that was just my bonus action.
Yeah. He's found a golden scythe token as well. What the heck?
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you.
And you can control it the way you want.
Thank you. And so for my action, seeing that and kind of that radiant energy coming out of the scythe that I didn't quite expect, Reaper will kind of cock their head to the side with a slight smile and will kind of push their hand towards it, pull it back, and then fire out towards the other two. And I'm going to center it. It's within 5 feet. If I put it here, can I hit both of them? I can. So I'm going to drop a word of radiance right between these two boys. Mm-hmm. And because it is each creature of your choice within 5 feet, within 5 feet of where you drop it, I believe. And if I put it there, they're both within 5 feet.
So is Goosey.
It's each creature I choose, and I'm not going to choose Goosey. I don't want to hurt Goosey with radiant fire.
Yep.
I'm a paladin anyway, but yeah.
You are a paladin. It'd be fine. I need them to make a Constitution saving throw, please.
Okay, interesting. Excuse me. So let's see. Oh, plus 3, it's not too bad. It's a 20.
They make it. Yep, that's fine. Is there anything? No, it's a sable suck. So yeah, that is fine then. I think that is my... I'm going to move a little bit more to the side again, sort of aiming to... like listening to what Hester said about still being in the train.
Yeah, and as you move, there would normally be a small, it looks like there's a small wall here of maybe an old destroyed building or whatever, but as you step through that, you're now stood like in what would be an illusion of a building. It's not actually there. You just feel like it's just an empty train carriage.
Alrighty, then that is my turn.
Okay, the creature would be the being to go next. I want everyone to roughly remember their positions.
Oh, God. Okay?
So roughly remember whereabouts you roughly are.
In relation to what?
In relation to, imagine this is a train carriage, okay? And right. let's say this, right? It's this kind of shape, okay? I'm drawing a train carriage on the map. Just remember that.
Okay.
And I'll trust you to decide where you go. But as it's the creature's turn, everything switches once again.
Oh no!
Back to where you were before. Only this time, I can remember some of it. So Goose Eye would be here, and Deacon would be
about
like here.
There.
Yeah. And Puck would be right at the top. Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah, that right there where there's a door right here. But everything has changed. It's a terrible drawing. But
yeah, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, everything's changed back to this time. And if I reveal that, there we go. And yes, where the creatures were before, there is now many, many different beings here, many ghostly apparitions. But that is a thing the creature has just done. And then it will make two attacks with its tentacles. One will be against Puck. This time is this damage. Oh, sorry, I mean attack roll. 23, which I think hits Monk.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you had something that I forget because I'm a terrible DM. And then the damage. There is damage this time. But there is also, you have to make a con save to not be grappled. 11 points of damage.
Pretty good, pretty good. 18 con save?
Yeah, 18. Perfect. So as you feel it wreathing around you, you're just able to fight off and break free from the tendrils around you. And then there'll be one more tendril attack, this time into Gusai. And Gusai, you'd feel it just whipping out of you, and you know that it wants you to stay here. That's a 26.
Just hits.
I think even hits a paladin, yeah. And that, likewise, con save, please.
Okay.
There will be damage of 11 points again. Decent attack rolls on the beastie beast. Natural one.
I will use my inspiration.
It's still a fail. You are drawn into the center of the beast. You're stood on a fire, but it doesn't burn you at all. It doesn't feel like there's actually a fire there, but you're drawn into the center and you just feel your life energy being drawn away from you. That you're the goodness of you, really, your emotional side. That's gonna be some damage.
Oh no.
It's only 10 points. But it's across
on top of the 11.
On top of the 11, so 21 in total.
Okay.
That's a significant number of hit points.
It's a decent amount, that's right.
Magic.
And at that point, Ajax, your first turn.
I'm not entirely sure how to follow Reaper's turn, to be honest, because that was incredible. So I'm sorry for laying everyone down. I'm going to walk forward through the dense brush. And as I do, I pull the loop back into my arms and I sing a quick limerick that I have just written.
Before you do, by the way, with the loot that comes out, you hear these people around the campfire and voices you recognize just say, "Join us. We can show you what happened to us and where we are now."
No.
You fight that off.
Well, I've just seen it go to Hester's family and now back to mine. Not Hester, sorry, Puck. So it's like, I'm not stupid. I just actually have an intelligence of 10, so I'm pretty average. Anyway, so I walk forward and strum, and as I do, I glance over at Hester and I direct my bardic inspiration their way. And I say, "There was a young whipper named Hester. Their strikes would kind of test you, but beware inside, they have bolt for hands and aren't afraid to shoot you." And I give you part of his
first. The whip. Thank you very much. What die is that?
D8.
D8, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a 2-minute thing for you.
Well,
I don't think, would I? I've been umming and ahhing about what I'm going to do now. It's so annoying. I think what I do is I start to rub my hands together after that. I let the loot kind of sit across my front. I start to rub my hands together really quickly. And I grab a piece of fabric and I continue to do it. I'm trying to make static between my fingers. And as I'm kind of rubbing my hands together, like I'm about to eat a really hearty meal, I start to grin slightly. My hair kind of stands on end as my entire body gets struck by this like static electricity. And then as it builds and builds and builds, you start to see little white shards coming out of my hand, like small little lightning bolts. And then, you know where this is going?
I've got a feeling, yeah.
Yeah, and then I, as that static is building, I then open my hands and just smash them together. And as I do, there's an almighty crashing noise and a bolt of lightning streaks out from me and goes in a 100-foot line straight through one side of the group of apparitions.
Ooh, that's a saving throw or an attack roll?
It's a dexterity saving throw, I think.
Okay. Let me just check if they have a thing to help with that. Okay.
My God! Chased by lightning, sucker!
Saving throw. Yeah, okay, great. What sort of saving throw is it? You said
it's a dexterity 50 saving throw.
That's a fail. Would it also hit Goose Eye in the middle?
No, I'm aiming. It's a 100-foot line, so I'm just aiming like to clip the side of the camp.
Yeah,
it would have been difficult beforehand, but now it's a little bit easier because there's more of them.
Nah, fooled by their own.
So that's 30 points of lightning damage.
Wow. Okay. So
crash, and again, this thunderous boom echoes out, and the static forms into this kind of shard that just elongates and then fires forward with the force of a lightning.
All but one of the spirits around Goose Eye disappear.
Amazing.
All but one, as this lightning just crashes through, sparks form a ring around all of them, and this pained expression, although it's more confused, and there's just one being remaining, and it changes its form to look like Ajax. I just moved you there because I thought that was, there we go, looks exactly like you now.
You've changed maps.
Did I change maps?
I'm looking at a field.
Sorry. I meant this one. My bad. Right, yes. So it changes. I'm going to put a little... No, I won't put any mark. But it changes form to look exactly like Ajax. So right next to Goose Eye would be something that looks like Ajax. It would still be grappled, Goose Eye as well, which only reduces your damage, sorry, your movement to zero. But Ajax, is that your turn?
Bonus action, movement, and action are used up, so yes, sir.
Perfect. After Ajax, then, it goes back to the top of the round, and it's Felipe.
Now that I can see only one creature, I'm going to walk forward slowly, and I'm just going to whisper into my hand. And as I whisper into my hand, I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers as echoes appear in the creature's mind. Basically, after I've seen Reaper listening to Decane speak to it, or like the other Reapers, I'm basically going to be putting that into his mind that Decane's telling it that it's not doing its job right, it's not worthy.
To this spirit?
Yeah.
Okay. What does that do? Show me the thing.
It's
a wisdom save.
It's a wisdom save, wisdom 15.
Okay. Ajax, can you make me a wisdom save, please?
No.
Ooh!
Drama!
That's 11.
Damn it.
You take the damage that was intended for the spirit because you know that you've switched places with it.
Oh, you twat. Oh.
But Felipe, right next to you, the spirit that you thought was Ajax just turns to you and smiles.
With my bonus action, I still won't know that it's not him, will I? I just think he's smiling at me because I just hurt the thing. I'm just gonna look back at him and just sort of smile awkwardly, like, what? Weird guy.
There's no response. It's just a beaming smile, kind of like the Joker. Real wide smile.
I mean, some full hysterical sort of smile.
No, just a big, like, you know, big happy smile.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be like, okay, I mean, I got him.
Felipe gets inspiration as well.
But doing that to me, or whoever did that in chat, is a...
Who did it?
Shibi Fierce 99.
Oh, of course.
Yes. So I'm just going to, that'll be my turn, because I don't realise that I'm next to the wrong one. I'm going to go, okay, I mean, I thought this was our job, but I'd be so happy about it.
Okay.
I'm just going to look forward again.
Colonel Goose Eye. you would look to Ajax next to you, or the creature that has become Ajax, and you've just seen Felipe cast a spell on it.
I would be screaming in agony, right? I've just taken over half a health point in a single blow, so it's not like I'm being quiet.
Oh yeah, the creature screams in agony next to you, Guso.
I mean, did the beastie make sounds when we were obviously killing it, the other parts of it?
Nothing at all.
I mean, and then Ajax is obviously what we know is Ajax is obviously screaming, sounding like Ajax when that happens.
Like, you, Felipe, I'm gonna.
You can certainly roll an insight to see if that would.
That's fair. That's because, to be honest with you, I was definitely going to just smash the crap out of him. let's see what happens.
Eleven. The creature looks like Ajax. The creature sounds like Ajax. But you saw it phase and change into the shape of Ajax and Felipe attack it.
Gusai, I think on 11 is kind of like he's unsure. So.
Yeah, down the middle would probably be like you're not sure either way.
Yeah. So he'll quite hesitantly just. I know what I can do.
I can cast Detect Psychic Bullshit.
There's something like Detect Good and Evil or some shit like that I can do.
You're a paladin.
Yeah.
Divine Sensory.
That's the one. I'm good at Dungeons and Dragons. Oh no, I already used it.
Oh.
Damn.
Sag.
I used it in my long rest. I used it and we haven't had a long rest. So yeah, in that case then, I will just peck him. And I'll peck him, just like,
confused peck.
Bat? No, just like a little, just testing peck.
Okay. You're testing peck Ajax.
Yeah.
It would be an unarmed strike, basically.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Incoming nat 20, here comes Ajax being killed by a beak.
Well, it says talons because, like, that's what my things are. Yeah,
19. The beak, it will say the beak because you said the beak. So you peck into Ajax for a 19, does 6 points of damage.
I'm so tempted to use my reaction. Oh, would Ajax? Ajax would. Ajax is pissed off. I'm going to use my reaction to use Avenger.
Oh, shit.
So
that's going to make things so much worse for everyone else watching.
As you peck into Ajax and I take 6 points of damage, do that quickly, the spiritual form of Zacharias appears behind you because he is my Avenger.
Holy fuck.
Whenever I'm hit, I'm damaged by a creature, I can use my reaction to deal force damage equal to a roll of your bardic inspiration die. So you take 8 points of force damage as this phantasmal figure of Zacharias Corrowind appears behind you and then just bitch slaps you. And then I'm trying to wiggle in your grass, like, get the fuck off me, Colonel!
Yeah.
1-4.
Alright. That's your turn?
I guess so. I can't really do anything else, I don't think.
I've got full faith that the next person whose turn it is, which is Hester, is going to know. So you're going to have some way of figuring this out. I just know it. And it is your go.
I'm a roll. Even I go for the front one, odd I go for the side one. All right. Wait, which one did I say? Odd goes to the side?
You said front or side.
All right. Odd for the side, I think it was. So I'm going to think, okay, we don't know which one's which. I'm just going to call up, go non-lethal, we'll pick up the one that's not the spirit, and I'll slash out with the whip toward the one that's like off to the side.
So next to Felipe.
Yeah. I'm actually going to just bounce over to them and try and land on their shoulders. And with my whip, just wrap and squeeze.
Okay, so that's interesting. So the first thing you said was jump on them, then the whip, right? So as you jump where you think Ajax is standing, or the spirit next to Felipe, you land there, sure. But 5 feet behind, you discover the spirit actually is displaced itself.
So it's like done like a weird like shimmer out of the way type deal.
It's effectively, if you're familiar, if anyone else is familiar, what a displacer beast is, this works in a similar way, where it makes itself appear close to where it was.
All right. I will like point that out and be like, okay, this one's acting weird. And we'll then, I will go for the same, and I will try and like grab my whips like zzz, and wrap around the neck, which I'm going to guess is like a grapple style thing.
Yeah, you're trying to grapple. The way I don't know what the actual rule for grapple is. We normally say if you do an attack roll and it beats the AC, they're grappled.
Okay, I'll do that one.
And this is with straight roll either as well. It's not a disadvantage because you know where the beast is. 23. The beast is grappled by your whip.
I have multi-attacks. I'm going to just like use my second attack to squeeze it again.
Just to try and strangle the beast.
Pretty much, yeah. What would you like me to do for that?
Damage. You can do. It can't get away. It's grappled by your thing. So just go ahead and roll damage.
All right.
As if it's an attack.
There we go.
As you pull the whip and try and choke the life out of this beast, you just see the last breaths of it as it fades away into the dust. It only had 4 health. And right before it fades away, you can see this look of despair on its face. And it kind of speaks to you, it'll be a voice of someone you're familiar with. They'll just say, "You could have joined us."
I'll pass, thank you. And I'll like pat its head as it goes down.
As it disappears in the wind. Yeah. And then at once, the train changes once again to be an empty train cart, which I haven't placed you guys on, but it's an empty train cart where you Puck would be at the door and everyone else would be roughly where they were placed before, and the spirit would be vanquished once again
around the whoops, sorry, coil in it.
I'm still gonna break out Colonel's feathers.
Fuck is
I don't know about anyone else, but I feel very bad for what I've just done to Ajax. And with that, I'm going to sort of run over and sort of put my hands on him, like, I'm sorry, so sorry. And
I'm flailing at the moment. I'm still grappled by Goose, remember? By Colonel.
Yeah, you know,
I got him! I've got the mirage!
It's just a mix of limbs and feathers.
Yeah. You know what they do in the old 80s films when somebody's being hysterical and they're like, calm down, and they really bitch slap him. He's going to do that and be like, calm
stop
down.
Panicking!
Who's like, this here to Goose?
No, it's to Ajax. And then as I slap him, instead of like slapping him with damage, I'm going to hit him with Cure Wounds. Like the nicest slap you can do.
Can I kick him in the balls and do a healing word?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, this is. I always say versus player combat when it's non-consensual player versus player combat. The victim of the attack gets to decide if it works, because that just kind of fixes.
I mean, I'll take it, but as he does it, I'm just gonna go.
And you know, I'm delivering that 1 point of damage.
So yeah. Felipe slaps you in the face and it seems to heal your wounds, and then in response you kick Felipe in the balls and that heals his wounds as well.
It deals a point of damage first
and then
it heals 5 points.
So it's just like ow, ooh. It hurts.
I'm just
good.
Waiting for my springs to stop flapping around and I'll use it.
Get old roll 20.
It's not roll 20, it's the fact I'm using a remote Wi-Fi screen and it just keeps on spazzing out on me.
And I use and while I'm fighting with Ajax, I'll heal him for 10 points on my lay on hands.
Yeah, lay on. Beasts don't have hands, right? Lay on
wings.
Yeah.
Lay on giant Disney feathers.
The most damage I've taken this entire campaign, even in your campaign, Maka, other than when I went down twice, is from Felipe.
This is exactly, just the little spoiler for everyone.
No, it's great,
when,
it's great.
When we've played offline, it was always player on player damage that was more than anything I could do. It was always the case.
Well, it was because we had Pat on the team.
Yeah.
And he had a flamethrower.
So, you're back in a carriage. Puck is by the door. The door literally just creaks open and you're free to pass through. But everyone else is kind of awake now in this room, and I haven't placed Deacon on the map yet, but you get the idea, he's there.
Right, we need a code word. If you do that to me again, Felipe, I'm going to thunderwave your balls off.
I mean, that's understandable, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Pineapple.
How are we supposed to know if you're bad if you keep have this threatening behavior?
He just almost destroyed my brain. My brain is everything. I need it to live. And you pecked me in the back, you stupid...
I had to be sure.
I can't stay mad at you, Colonel. But code word.
Pineapple.
Why pineapple?
Trust me, I've used it before. Anyways, off we go.
I love DMing for bards.
Can I walk over to Reaper again real quick?
Reaper that you've known for a while, or Reaper Green, the new one?
Old Reaper that I've known for a while.
Yep.
Not old. And
I am quite old, I think. I don't know, really.
Right, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that you summoned a scythe.
Yes.
In my collective, that clan is known as the Tanahash. Perhaps if you need one name to hold for now, you could be of the Tanahash. They are keepers of the land. I am of the Terali, keepers of the safety in the body of the clans.
Hmm. Yes, I like that.
Just until you find your own clan name.
Yes. I didn't expect it to come out like that. I've never had that power as long as I can remember. But then I suppose there is a lot I do not remember right now. So yes, I will take that name for now. Thank you. And I will dispel my spiritual weapon.
As it's dispelled, Deacon walks past and says, "Nice work, Marie," and carries on.
What is Deacon doing while we're fighting all these spirits?
Like, just standing at the side with his hat pulled over his face, smoking cigars.
Maka, do I know that name? I Rowan know that name. Does Reaper know that name?
I don't know. The act of that scythe, being drawn, and you're gaining more and more of your memories, it would be strangely yeah. familiar.
Okay. I won't kind of just squint a little bit and shake my head and keep the name Marie in mind. Maka!
I'm gonna walk up to Hester and... Hester. I really appreciate you being able to tell the difference between me and the fake one. I appreciate that. We have a bond, you and I think.
I'm just growing. Deeply insightful. I know how you move.
Incredible.
Like, I know those things.
I think my screaming probably helped, but it was thank you for choosing the right one and not pecking me or attempting to explode my brain into pieces.
I couldn't if I tried, and I wouldn't want to.
Thank you. I give you a little pat on the shoulder.
Return the shoulder pat.
Yeah.
I got your back. Alright, come on. Ain't no waiting around this place.
Monster headache. Let's go.
I mean, I say that time doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Do y'all need a rest or of any kind? Do we need to take a minute or are we good to be on?
To be honest, I feel like my magic is pretty depleted, but I'm not tired at all. I don't even know if I'm feeling pain at the moment. I think I'm just putting it on. So I'm good to go, but I'm not going to be very useful soon.
I've only got a few. Reaper Green would step up and basically say, "This your magic, you say, is being spent, but time flows differently here. If your magic is gone, try to cast it and see. You should not experience any fatigue here.
What?
You fuckers have unlimited spell slots.
Injuries. Really? Yes, injuries will remove you from this place. Total destruction will render you annihilated. But you will not need food or sustenance or this very place is magic itself.
All right, Reaper 2. I'm going to trust you on this one. And I put my arms out like this. We call this the trust fall. And then I'm going to just fall backwards and cast Spirit Guardians and see if they catch me.
And as you fall...
I don't have a third level spell slot, so...
As you fall, one of your ancestors would catch you.
Oh, shit!
I could have played a sorcerer.
Seeing this happen, can Puck try to go invisible again?
And yeah, oh wait, Hidden Step is not a spell slot, is it?
Yeah, I have a lot of things that are like feats and features. They're not necessarily spell slots.
No, so that stuff wouldn't work anymore. But okay. Spell slots effectively are not depleted here.
Oh my god.
Well, I will need to sleep eventually because most of my like cool things and like key points, I assume don't like aren't, you know, I need to sleep for those.
Yeah, all things that require short or long rest do not return.
Okay.
I was out the room. Have you just told us that spell slots don't be expended here?
Correct.
Yeah, we have unlimited spell slots.
Spell slots do not get depleted, but short and long rest things basically can't be returned here. There is no time, there is no sleep, there is no, you know.
Oh shit.
Inspiration's always
gone. For the rest of this game I can't regain key points or my like things that I do.
So I've lost like a channel divinity and
we'll see, I guess. And so that face says we'll see.
Oh,
I'm gonna be useless in a minute, y'all.
That's okay.
Sorcerers just became OP real quick.
They really fucking did.
Should have picked a sorcerer.
Yeah. I love messing with reality when it comes to planes like this.
Do you know, I really wish I was a wizard and had fireball right now. That'd be the most destructive fucking brain.
But the Reaper Green does say you should beware that if you cause too much damage to the carriages, they will derail and we will be left behind.
As she finishes saying that, you see Goosey just go, charges up his hammer with a divine smite and just smash it into the stone. It's like, that's one. He goes to do it again, just like charges it up. And he's going to try and burn through as many spell slots to see if he can keep doing it.
Fucking Deacon rushes over and grabs you and just says, I can't let you do that. And just tries to stop you physically, like strength wise. You can allow him to or not.
Colonel, so, don't destroy the train. You literally just heard Reaper 2.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. I just want to see if I could do the magics. And I can!
Do it on like a bench or one of these crates.
Okay. And let the floor. Smash.
There you go. That's fine. Good job. Okay. That's fine.
That's really effective.
All right. Well, now that you've got yourself warmed up, let's see what fresh hell awaits us beyond this door, shall we?
Can I quickly look in one of these boxes? Because I'm intrigued as to what luggage somebody would need to take to the underworld with them.
Okay. You're going to try and open
one? Yeah, DM. What's in the crate?
What's in the box? I'm going to unbuckle one and flick it open and just sort of go... One
in the box.
Jock strap.
Inside that one, particularly right next to you.
Yeah, just a quick gander.
Nice.
As you open the box, inside is the corpse of a human male.
Oh no.
Wearing similar clothes to you, with a similar hat to you, with a similar face to you.
Well, at least I'm dashing in death, I suppose. Going to close it and be like, perhaps we should move on. Don't open the boxes, it's quite terrifying.
take your word for it.
Oh, my head.
Yeah.
What's in the box, Felipe? More people for you to brain torture?
It's me, dead.
A mirror?
No, just me, dead, corpse, body. The body of me.
Wait.
Alive, but dead.
Show me?
It's not something I really want to linger on too much.
No, open it. Show me.
Hello. Goodbye.
Do you choose to open it?
I'll take a quick peek, yeah.
As you open it and look inside, it is Felipe's corpse.
Is his hat still on?
Yeah.
I take the hat and I put it on.
You're now wearing the identical hat that...
Is the body in the suitcase a physical body?
As in, if you wanted to approach and touch it?
Like walking past Hester, be like...
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, Hester.
Like, poke it, yeah. Is it physical?
Feels physical, yeah.
And we're not. Kinda.
That's right, you are all spiritual.
Wait, is this body wearing
a curiosity? A curiosity passes her mind, but she'll keep walking.
Is this body wearing his beautiful purple robe as well?
Yeah.
I'm going to wait until everyone's...
beautiful purple robe.
And, we're going to come to a point where you're going to be stripping a corpse naked. That's just where we're heading, just so you can...
Well, I mean, it's...
plan ahead.
I mean, we may as well just do this. I'm just going to copy his token. There we go.
Wow.
Oh, yep, that's a new low for the
imitation
crew.
And flattery, something, something. And I like close the door behind me and leave Max behind.
Oh, this is a bit loose. It's a bit fatter than me.
I am going to just flick the paintbrush out and just ruin his clothes.
Ruin your own clothes. So anyway, moving on. Next carriage. There is...
It's another Reaper.
Yes, there is. There's another Reaper, absolutely.
It's Purple Reaper.
And in this carriage...
Reaper.
There are many... deacons? What look like deacons. No, I'll put a tag on the one so you can see which one's the one you guys know. This one's with you the whole time. All the others... I don't have another token to display outlaws, but let's just say these are all ghosts of outlaws. That are kind of faceless and figureless, but... you can certainly tell that they are in the shape of outlaws. They're wearing, you know, highbrow, like what they're called, like cowboy hats and duster jackets and leathers and stuff like that.
Feels like home.
Do you think these are the people from Crackjaw?
Might be. If we've picked up anything so far, though, is that everything in these carriages is designed to slow us down or distract us. Now just keep our heads down and keep moving until someone tries. Hester, like, we'll do just that, but, like, lower her cowboy hat and just keep walking.
I think you're onto something, Hester. I might join you on that one.
We belong. Act like we belong, you know? Just, it's fine.
As you do pass by the seats, two of them either side look at you, and one of them just nods and says, "Cart and tear."
I don't have the courtesy to remember your name, but good day to you too. And we'll walk on by.
Gusai will put his shield on his head and pretend to tip his cap like a hat, and then walk on and waddle on by.
As everyone passes through these ghostly outlaws, begin to move into the channel.
Oh.
And they stop, and none of them are looking at you. Their faces are down. They're kind of just standing there. And they don't appear to recognize Hester. The two at the back maybe did, but these two at the front, where you're heading, certainly don't.
Howdy, partners.
You got it, go ahead.
Yeah. You have some meeting with the bishop?
Do indeed.
I stick a thing of licorice in my mouth.
This business, you can tell it to us.
That's funny. Sit down.
There's two more of these outlaws move into the carriage. They just move straight through the ghostly figure of Felipe, and then one moves right next to you. Let's go. I see that you've got all your fingers.
And I will kindly demonstrate. I said sit down.
What's to happen if we don't?
Well, he's like, gently like push a hand towards them, like into their chest. Does it go through? Is it like impact?
As you touch the figure next to you, this color returns to their body and their face returns to a face you would recognize, name perhaps maybe lost because you've been a while away from the gang. But their head kind of tilts to the side and they're like, Cottontail? You're dead too?
Yeah.
And then they look around and see Deacon and they're like, well, Deacon's been dead. I know you've been dead a while, but what the... We all died?
Yeah.
Then, where's Bishop?
We got a meeting with him. So if you and your buddies could kindly just step out of the way, we'll carry on with our business.
And then this one turns to the two outlaws blocking your path. This is Cottontail, can you see? And they just both still stood stoically there, and you see them slowly reaching their hands down to their pistols on their waist. It'd be a shame to mess up that pelt you got there.
Don't worry, son, no one's wearing it but me. And if I can quickly make two whip attacks, I would like to try.
Okay. You can certainly get one off.
But I release haste on him.
I see what you're doing. Hey! Oh,
you haste
on him. I said I was holding the spell, with licorice. So as soon as he moves, I release haste and
death on him. I forgot the licorice.
One fast rabbit.
I was waiting for it. I've got
that. That felt like one heck of a Mexican stand up right there.
Mm. So, yeah.
Haste is cast. Hester,
and you still got my inspiration from the limerick as well.
As quick as a flash.
V8, yes.
And before these outlaws have a chance to fully pull out their guns, they kind of draw them, and just as they're about to fire the whip, and go ahead and make the attack rolls.
All right, first one on the one on the left.
Oh, so Becky forgot the licorice comment. Come on, man.
I know, right?
I need that one to make a strength saving throw.
Ooh. Probably not going to be very good. It's a 14.
14, he fails. His gun hits the floor.
And it kind of flies back behind him.
And he's going to take 3 plus 6, 9 points of slashing damage.
He's like, ah!
And the one on the right-hand side. Go ahead and make another strength saving throw.
This is going to be so cool. I can feel it now. This one passes.
Ah!
God damn it! All right, his gun doesn't hit the floor.
It does knock it knock it away. If it'd been whipped in the hand, it kind of knocks his hand away. The other one's dropped. He takes 4 damage too. And
and he'll take a total of 12 points of slashing damage. And yeah, it's like as soon as they like reaching for the gun, just whoosh, whoosh, drop one, slash the one like across the hand.
As you make connection with them, physical connection with them, the two outlaws slowly color rises up from their feet and returns to their face, and their facial expressions return, and they kind of look around them and they look at the wound on their hands. They're like, what the hell is happening?
The one in front of me that's still ghostly, can I just try and grab his head and just push him into Hester, because it's saying that Hester keeps connecting with people and they come back to life.
As you try and reach this one, you reach out, they were prepared to react to whatever you guys were doing. They were not fast enough for the... But the second you try and touch, you just feel a knife, like a jackknife or whatever, at your throat. He just said, take one more step, I'm going to cut your throat.
Can I tap the knife and cast change state and just make it disappear into steam?
So, yeah, I mean, you just raise your finger, like, touch the knife, and it just goes and just vanishes. It's like, what the hell?
And then I'm going to slam him into Hester. I'm not slamming into Hester, just be like, fuck off.
Push him into him. And as this ghost makes physical contact with Hester and then hits the ground, while they're on the ground, they're like,
did we get into a bar fight or something? Something along those lines. They're standing in our way. We got business with the bishop. Now sit the fuck down.
Language!
We're dead, aren't we? I don't give a shit. Move.
Language!
They look back and see Deacon.
Yo, Deke is, don't look at him. He's not gonna help you. Look at me. Move.
When did you get so big? Cottontail, you were so quiet when we first knew you.
You weren't standing in my way then.
That's a fair comment. Now it is, you know, if we're here, that means the bishop's probably dead too.
None of this is you moving.
Okay, I mean, you know how he does not like to be accosted by people he has not summoned.
I like draw the hand crossbow and just level it at this guy's head, like up against his cheek. I still don't see you fucking moving.
I'm already dead, Cottontail. What are you gonna
do? I will
do?
Kill your ass again.
They step aside. Their hands up. They're kind of smiling a little bit, like.
I kind of like you this way. You're much more fun.
Just imagine him there with haste on, like vibrating, like.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
I like
this.
As long as they've stepped out of the way, I'm a like lower the crossbow and just start walking.
As Deacon walks past, I think only a Reaper and Ajax actually are far enough back, and Puck too, that they would hear this. But Deacon's kind of speaking to the other outlaws.
Is Bishop through there?
And they kind of nod.
How much does he know?
And they sit down and choose to return to their ghostly state where they don't retain their facial features or anything. The two that are beside him, they just kind of return to their seats. Huh.
You know, I told Bishop something. Anyway, let's head on.
As I walk past those two, I say, sorry for the language, and carry on walking.
Deacon?
What's up?
Hester, can I borrow you both for a second?
What do you need?
I start to play with my hands as I'm kind of like, it looks like I'm playing an instrument, but without playing an instrument. And as I do, runes start to form underneath Deacon's feet. And I'm going to cast Zone of Truth underneath him.
Ooh.
Do you have that as a spell?
Yes, I do. I have had this for so long, and I've only used it twice in Terra Luno and now here.
15-foot radius, you just cast it on him? On
I'm casting it, underneath him, yeah, is the point.
So it's not catching anyone else?
Yeah, well, it's trying not to catch anyone else. It may start to form, but you can step back. But I'm deliberately aiming it underneath Deacon.
He looks down at his feet.
You think this is my first rodeo, kid?
Submit to the magic.
He looks down and looks back at you and says,
I've got nothing to hide.
Good. Does he submit? Or does he try and make a saving throw?
Ask your questions, fiery hair.
What did you tell Deacon, Bishop?
Bishop took something of mine, and it's kind of...
What did he take?
I'm not prepared to lie about that, but I'm not prepared to tell you either. Let's just say that he took something of mine, and I tried to get it back and release myself from his service. Hester knows exactly what I'm talking about.
But say your name, Deke.
I told Bishop how I got back from the underworld. Which means if we make it there and he meets with the Lord of Death, he can do a deal like mine, and mine starts over. Another 9 souls, another lifetime waiting.
You got any questions for him, Hester? It's all yours.
I don't know that I do.
What's your name?
I think I do.
Go ahead, Reaper One.
Deacon, do you know what my name is?
He steps out of the circle.
We should probably get a move on.
Fucker!
Someone push it back in.
I have a 0 strength and he's really big.
I cast Zone of Truth. But he now steps out.
You have it too?
Yeah.
He's a paladin.
God damn it, he's a paladin.
Okay, you cast it too. And
he goes, not so fast. I'm too smart for you. Now, use Tommy once and for all. I use bad.
I've done some bad things, but I've not done evil things.
Moving magic circle, wow.
All right, I'm good.
That's so cool.
All the fancy shit in this stream.
I've done things that some people don't like. I've done things that some people might say is heartless, but let's just say I don't do it for evil reasons.
I whispered to Hester,
I think he might be a bad.
I'll lean down and whisper right back. You know, I think you might be onto something here.
Deacon. I'm very smart.
Doing great.
Deacon, what is my name? What is my name, Deacon? Tell me.
I think you could answer the woman, Deacon.
But nobody's around you, CPP.
Can I run up and grapple him in the Zone of Truth?
Yeah, as he's he kind of has his back to Reaper, and you can see
that overlap my Zone of Truth underneath. Truth as well.
His head's kind of down, and he pulls out a cigar, lights it on one of the benches, just begins to light. Well, not lights the cigar, that'd be crazy, but lights the match and then lights the cigar. And as he's doing this, Puck runs up behind and goes to grapple, and because he can't see that coming. That will be with advantage.
Yes, it's just pure strength.
Yeah, so make a unarmed attack because you're a monk, and if that beats his AC, you'll grapple him.
Oh, amazing, okay.
That's how I roll it anyway. Because I don't give a fuck.
It's a rebel.
Oh, that's not great, but with advantage, you said, so yep. Come on, be better, not very good. Shoot.
Oh, no.
Puck,
I will give you my inspiration.
Yes!
Oh!
Do it. Make it happen.
Come on.
You can go ahead and try that again.
Come on.
Give a Reaper a name.
Better. 18. Thank you.
As you run in, tackle Deacon, you grab hold of him. I don't think you can make his contested strength check with him to try and force him to the ground if that's what you're doing. But at this
I just
point,
want to keep him in there. I'll basically bear hug, keep him in there.
Okay. And Firbolgs are huge. So
yeah.
Okay. So you run in, you grab Deacon, and you grab him from behind, and he sort of looks down at these green arms.
I'm not gonna get out of this, am I?
You know who I am, Deacon. Tell me who the fuck I am.
Hangridge.
He remember when we were back in Crackjaw and I said to you I was looking for someone in a blue dress.
Yes, yes. What about it?
In that pile of bodies, there was someone with a blue dress. I just picked the first person that looked different than the rest because I knew you'd remember him.
What are you saying?
I'm not here for someone in a blue dress.
He's here for you, Reaper.
Oh my god, are you her dad?
You don't read the lines very well, do you? I believe he might have feelings for Reaper.
I'm afraid to tell you the truth, Reaper, because if I do, it means it might not work.
So what happens then? You carry on lying to me and I carry on this train doing the job that Duquesne has made me do for however many years I've been here?
He turns his head and looks back. You can just see the side of his head and he's like,
you think this has been easy for me?
I was thinking about you, Dick.
What's my name?
He looks down at the ground.
Your name's Marie.
Just kind of fall into one of the pew chairs and so when I remembered all I could remember when I was here was that some time ago there was someone who made me feel safe and happy and alive, but I couldn't remember what they looked like. And every time you got on this train, you knew that that was you. And you said nothing.
I couldn't risk it not working.
What not working? You left me here.
That's not how I remember it. You were taken from me. I remember this train came. I was moments from dying. There was blood everywhere. I don't know what happened, I can't remember, but I climbed with everything I had, and I climbed on the train and I looked for you, but you'd already forgotten. When we reached Acheron, the Lord of Death looked upon me and had no idea that I was there. I hadn't died, I became something else. He said I was his now. And I begged and I begged and you were there. You were this close to being sent back to God knows what or whatever comes after, but I said, please, I'll do anything. It's when Cain told me I had to bring him 9 living souls. I couldn't bring myself to do it for so many years. Hundreds, thousands. And every time I died, it was only so I could get to look at you one more time. Now that, you might not remember everything, you may never, but if I bring these souls in, my debt's paid, I'll take your place and you get to live.
Reaper just kind of sits in the chair, doesn't say anything.
I drop my zone of truth.
Wait! Before the last one drops theirs, as I see the magic starting to drop, do I have time for one more question?
Andy's is still up, so.
I will just say, man in a hat. Is there a way for all of us to get off this train and get our lives in our own realms back?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I know that there's someone at the front of this train that keeps it going, decides its route, stops off at wars and bloodshed, and there's a chance. But if you leave, then this has all been for nothing.
There is a rule where we're from, and many places you go. If you walk into a bar and things ain't going your way, you're losing money, you're running out of gold, shit's getting wild. If you want out of there with the cards in your hand, you find the biggest damn person in that bar and you kill him. Then it's your bar. All the cards are in your hands. So I may not be the smartest bunny on the block. I don't understand all this magical bullshit, but I'm not gonna get entangled in all of that shit because it doesn't excuse fuck all that you've done. And frankly, I don't care. For now, I think we all need a bit of a rest. Time moving like a soup, whatever. Don't give a shit. You lot, and I'll like point to the owls and I'm like, give these fuckers some space. Get out. Go on, move. Fucking get out. And like shoo the rest of these like outlaws like to the other side of the train. Right.
They all move back, and you can see that as they've been hearing this story, there's kind of understanding in their faces. And they're all in awe when they move back too.
So let's just take a seat. Take a drink, makes you feel better if you need. Just take a minute to just think. And then a few minutes, an hour, whatever. We keep moving. We find the damn person in front of this train. We kill him. And whatever the fuck happens after that, we deal with. How does that sound as a plan?
In the next carriage after this, you'll find Bishop.
Fun.
There is someone there too. He has a big guy with an axe with him. Not sure how he's done it, but this man's kind of protecting him now. After that, there's the front of the train.
Well, given that we're not in the business of giving our souls over, your only hope of getting off this train or seeing Reaper off this train, Marie off this train, is us succeeding in this. So next time shit starts going down, don't sit at the back with your arms fucking crossed. Take a seat. Take a minute. And then we're moving forward.
Hester, do you not think I would love to pick up my guns and fire with these?
I don't give a flying fuck what you want, Deacon. Sit down and shut up.
He pulls out his pistol, he aims it at one of the outlaws, and he fires it directly at them, and nothing happens. The bullet just goes straight through and out the carriage.
I can't hurt them while I'm in the services of Duquesne.
Wonderful. See my previous statement. And Hester's gonna like sit down on a pew and just like pull a hat down.
With everything that's going on, and Hester's obviously going through a hard time, and I'm not exactly having the great best of times, I'm just going to paint light in the air in front of me, pipe. I'm just going to sit and smoke a pipe and then paint the second pipe, pass it to Hester and be like, perhaps it's time we have a small rest and we think about what our next steps are, because I've got a feeling if this Bishop man is anything like he's been portrayed, he might be vying for the same thing that you're mentioning.
He's a mean fucker, but reputation does more than muscle for him. There's more of us. We'll win or he won't.
50-50, I like it. And most things work in this world.
I like the plan, but can we do it with less swearing, please?
For you, Ganders, anything.
As we draw to a close, episode 2 of the Iron Horse of Asheron, would anyone like to ask any more questions while the Zone of Truth is up? Or do we hold our peace?
For my last thing of the day, I just kind of want to, like, literally, like, push Deacon to the ground and walk over to Marie and just sit next to them and just say, I'm happy you've found your name. And just sit next to them quietly.
I don't know if I want it. And just kind of put my head on Pekara's shoulder.
You see, there's Deacon's pushed to the ground. It's the last act of episode 2. He pulls out a letter, and as Puck's walking away, the envelope is addressed to my best friend Marie. And he then takes out a light, like a match on the ground, lights it, and just burns the letter away. And with that, we will end episode 2 of the Iron Horse of Asheron. Hope everyone's had fun. And I hope you can join us next Tuesday at 9 p.m. UK time for episode 3, or chapter 3 as it will be known. Whew!
Holy shit, Maka.
That's cool.
You know when I was like, oh, I love it when the GM twists the knife. It's my favorite bit.
I know.
Like in the break, Rowan's just like, oh, I love it when DMs are mean like that. Oh, wow.
And the whole time I was thinking, my brain knows a thing and you don't know what thing.
Oh.
I hope everyone had a lot of fun.
Oh, yours is fun.
That was amazing.
Y'all are so fun to play with. I'm really glad to be here.